Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. My name is Jeff Schrank. It's my privilege to be here today. I'm a pastor in Phoenix, Arizona, and my son just read the scripture. That is a great day for me as a dad, and my favorite daughter-in-law, the best daughter-in-law in the world, is in this room right now, Pam. The scripture for today, as you see, and if you received this piece of paper entitled The Fear Academy, Afraid of the World, I have 8 minutes to tell you everything I want to say, which would typically be 45 minutes in the church that I serve. I want to talk about a school, a trap, a smell, and a prayer. The scripture, look at verse 19. On that evening of the first day of the week, the doors locked where the disciples were afraid of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Please pray with me. Gracious Father, I pray that you would fill your peace in this room. We give you thanks for this place. We thank you for the holy work that is done in this place. We pray especially for those who are anticipating what will happen in this next month. And we pray for the Lord of the church and the Spirit of God to be upon us as we try to do your will. In Christ's name, amen. I find it significant to note that they are coming to the end of their seminary training, these disciples, and they are afraid. They're afraid. They're so afraid, the doors are locked. Take note that, in fact, in verse 26 as well, although the doors were still locked 8 days later. So even if Jesus comes to you right now and says to you, "Peace be with you, your call will be okay, your vicarage will be fine, your budget will be made, I will be able to deal with whatever," fear still takes over us. The scripture, as it writes, "Peace be with you," answers the question that all of us, humanly speaking, have fear, what some people call false evidence appearing real. Now, I might suggest this. I'm 50 years old. I graduated from the seminary 25 years ago, and I don't mean to be offensive. I didn't graduate from this seminary, so you could say maybe this never happens here. Sometimes seminary institutions can cause people to be afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid when I came out. I was afraid, what happens if people don't like me? What happens if I can't do the job? What happens if I can't answer the questions? What happens? Look at the second scripture you see on your page. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25. "Fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord is safe." There's a tendency for us to believe that fear, in its essence, as long as we are cautious, we will never have to be afraid. In fact, being cautious will actually make us even have more of a trap we could fall into. I'm from Milwaukee, the holy city. I am a middle neglected child. I have an older brother and a younger brother. And so therefore, when you live in that kind of a world, you figure out fairness fairly simply. I grew up in Milwaukee, the inner city, and my parents would take me to central Wisconsin to work on a farm in the summertime. Loved it. If you don't know what a post hole is, God bless you, but post hole diggers are clearly one of the most ingenious inventions of all of human history. My brothers and I would try to dig holes for one another, place various vegetation over the top of them, and see if we could get each other to fall in. That was when we were done milking the cows and baling the hay and slopping the pigs, we entertained ourselves with post hole digging. I was pretty good at it. And I would place various holes around the farm where my brothers would fall in, and you could hear them screaming, "What?" I will tell you, congregations can give you a situation where if you have an approval addiction, you will fall in the hole. I'm willfully to express, I too have this dynamic. God says, though, fear of man lays a snare. Be careful. Whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." When you get to your first congregation, or you get to your vicarage congregation, or you get into a classroom, you get into an academic institution, you're going to always figure out this question: what does it smell like around here? What does it smell like? I want you to smell the two different smells. There's a smell of baking bread, and there's a smell of unwashed socks. Those are two very distinct smells. You have the responsibility, I have the responsibility as a Christian pastor, for God did not give us a spirit of fear. It doesn't come from God, but of power and love and self-control. The great news that I have for you today, and my prayer, the last statement, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and following. For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. This is my prayer for you. It's my prayer for me. That as we continue to dig deep down into the Word of God, the eyes of our heart would be enlightened by the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him. Notice the phrase, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. We, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, have hope. Hope is not a wishful thought. Hope is a confident expectation that God has acted and will act. Just this last month, I buried the president of my congregation. I didn't expect him to die, nor did he expect to die. Pancreatic cancer. We were at Red Lobster on January 8th, planning the new school building. By February 14th, he was dead. Pancreatic cancer stinks. 4 days before he died, grabbing my hands very strongly, he was ready to go home and see the Lord. And on the day that he died, being with his family and his candidly cold, dead body getting colder by the minute after he left this life, I was grateful for the rapidity with which he left this life, but painful for me, painful for his wife and his children. You know the best thing about being a pastor is? The best thing about being a pastor? Being able to be with people at significant points of their life and point them to Jesus Christ and the mercy of God and the privilege of being there when someone leaves this life and to give them the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You can say whatever else you want to say, but there is the blessed reality of ministry. Brothers and sisters, may you have hope and power and peace. Because clearly, even though the disciples had Jesus himself come and say, "Peace be with you," 8 days later, they still had the door locked. Now, I'd like to tell you, I'm not a fearful person, but that would be a lie. The truth is, I'm a person just like you who needs the Lord Jesus Christ this day. I've been a pastor for 25 years. I've been in vicarage in the inner city of Detroit, inner city of Chicago, inner city of Wyoming, so to speak. I've been a pastor in New Jersey, in Southern Illinois, and now Phoenix. And I'm here to tell you that people are the same, whether they are millionaires or homeless people. And the average person over the course of time, I've become convinced with this reality, the average person is a 2-year-old child raising up their hands, simply saying, "Please love me." Regardless if they have a PhD behind their name or many zeros in their bank account. And the two questions they often ask, regardless between everything else, are these two questions. Does God care? And is God able? Those are the two questions in many various forms, regardless of who those individuals are. And you know the reality that we have, the privilege we have, this place is all about, is proclaiming the clarity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we know not only is God able, God cares and has given us, because of the resurrection of Christ, life beyond death itself. I have the greatest job in the world, not because there isn't pain, not because there isn't hard work, not because it isn't make you cry at times, but because we have the opportunity to point this dying world to the living Jesus Christ. And there's a reason for hope and joy. I wish I could go back I wish I'd go back to seminary 25 years ago. I wish I would listen more, to be honest with you, because I would ask other questions. But I say this to you on a very human, personal level. When you are tempted to lock the door for fear of the world, whatever that might be, Jesus, in his grace, comes to you individually, personally, and specifically, and says to you, peace be with you. You're not just someone who has the gospel as tools of the trade. It's food for your own very soul. And so I say to you, peace be with you. We pray. Gracious Father, I pray your blessing upon this institution, these professors and students. We give you thanks for the privilege of this place, of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and we pray your favor and blessing to be upon it. We pray that you would come to each of us again this day, the resurrected Christ. Peace be with us because of what Christ has done. This we say in Christ's name. Amen.